Good day, good listener, and welcome to another episode of Joe Blogs About Films, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Like I state on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. Now, apologies in advance for the lack of episodes and new content coming on the podcast. I've been away with my wife celebrating our anniversary in the Big Apple, and boy, oh boy, was that an experience. So many amazing film locations and just an all-round incredible city, really. But yes, apologies for the delay. Very happy to be back, very happy to have caught this film that we're going to be talking about on this particular episode, because Weapons is the latest release from director Zach Cregger, the guy responsible for the brilliant release Barbarian back in 2022. Cregger really impressed me with that debut. It was definitely a film built around defying audience expectation with its horror, and it worked tremendously. I frustratingly was late to the party on Barbarian, and so upon seeing the trailer for Weapons, I was in no way going to miss catching this one at the cinema. And coming away, I think Cregger is becoming one of my favourite movie directors. The film is simply brilliant. It's down as horror, or at least that word is being thrown around when talking about Weapons. I don't necessarily agree with it being straight up horror. It has horror components, sure, you know, with its imagery, but this is more so a thriller and lends itself into the Prisoners category, another stupendous film, might I add. What is a simple premise of missing children and working out who or what is responsible is executed perfectly with the story tone and its performances that you're fully immersed in this chilling tale. Much like his approach with the structure to Barbarian, that one being non-linear, Cregger again takes a different approach to tell this story. If you're expecting your standard drama that unfolds and you get this huge reveal at the end explaining what's been causing the disappearances and strange behaviour of people from this small-knit community, then you're probably going to come away disappointed, because Weapons is a film where it reveals itself naturally the further you go along. This time, Cregger has split the film into 5 or 6 chapters, showcasing different people's versions of events regarding the same moment. It's one of my favourite ways of storytelling, to be perfectly honest. You have a particular moment that will involve a couple of characters, and the film will then revert back around to this moment from the eyes and different perspectives of the different protagonists. When done well, as it is in Weapons, it's the best form of entertainment. It helps as well when you have some brilliant cast members to sell your story, and everyone involved, from Julia Garner, Josh Brolin, Alden Ehrenreich, bring their A-game and then some. Weapons is easily one of this year's standouts, which I feel I've been saying a lot, but then again, we have been getting some awesome releases this year. It has so much to say, not only from the supernatural, but the more home-hitting themes of grief, survivor's guilt, alcoholism, drug addiction and police brutality, and this is all elevated down to the suspense and tension that the film thrives on. It's a mystery that is rather chilling, and certainly one that will be in most people's top 10 list at the end of the year. But before I proceed, just a quick thank you again for clicking and spinning this podcast and episode. If you like what you hear and you haven't done so already, hit the like and follow button on the streaming app of your choice. That way you'll never miss any new episodes that are uploaded. Head over to Instagram and search Joe Blogs About Films on there. Give the page a follow. You can also like us too on Facebook if you like, but finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, because it helps a lot, it means a lot, and again, thank you all for your support. When all but one child from the same class mysteriously vanish on the same night at exactly the same time, a community is left questioning who or what is behind their disappearance. Is there anything more unsettling or terrifying as children in horror? I think it's the innocence of children that makes it so unnerving whenever they are included as a key component to a thriller or a horror story, and it's not that they're used in horrific fashion within Weapons, but right off the bat, the film takes its first swing by having a child narrating the events of what happened at 2:17 one particular morning, and it's eerie. The way Cregger captures these children running, arms out straight, again plays into that innocence of children, but at the same time starts to play out the mystery of why these kids have all gotten up at the same time and where have they gone. I quite liked that the story delivered this as an introduction to the film. It doesn't overstay, it just sets up that these kids were all from the same class and no one knows why this has happened. But instantly, Cregger's got you locked in wondering what force or entity could have made this happen, and I think that the film delivers to a somewhat satisfying conclusion on the whys and hows, even if it did leave me wanting a little bit more. There are a few key players in this one. The main one for me would be Julia Garner as Justine, the teacher of these children that is under heavy scrutiny from the parents of these missing kids. Understandably, fingers are being pointed as to what exactly went on in her classroom and question marks around her style of teaching, because we learn that she oversteps the teacher-student boundaries at times, purely because she cares an awful lot about her job and the kids that she teaches. I think Garner was outstanding in this role. Her world has been shaken, and now she's perceived in the eyes of this community as a witch. Quite literally, she has that word scrawled on the side of her car, and she has to deal with not only the hate and blame that she's getting, but also that she couldn't do anything to prevent this from happening to her class. This mix of survivor's guilt and blame just sends her to the bottle, be that drinking alone at home so she can go to sleep, or slyly filling up her drink from the shop with vodka as she sits behind the wheel of a car. It's a downward spiral that escalates and escalates and only really starts to shift once she is attacked by Benedict Wong's character, where suddenly she too is perceived as a victim within this nightmare. I felt that Garner really did a standout job. I've been a big fan of hers since seeing her in Ozark, and if last year was the year of Kaylee Spaney, then 2025 is the year of Julia Garner, man. Josh Brolin too is terrific in that role of a father that will stop at nothing to find his missing child. I've mentioned Prisoners already, but there's that feel of Hugh Jackman's performance from that film. Obviously, not to the same lengths of anger that Jackman displayed. There is a bite to Brolin in which he won't back down until he finds out why and who's caused this. Craig's decision to split the story into perspectives allows the audience to fully understand these characters and their actions, as well as making them more fleshed out. It felt natural that what starts off as Brolin accusing Garner of causing the children to go missing ends up the two of them working together because they know that something isn't right here and there's something much bigger at play. Brolin also got the biggest laugh out of me upon him having a nightmare involving his son to then being horrified that an old lady, face covered in so much makeup, is lying with a smile on her face in her son's bed, causing him to wake up and exclaim, "What the fuck?" Like, literally, pretty much epitomised my entire feelings to the film up to that point. Now, there is some brilliant use of comedy within Weapons, which I was all for. The film spends so much time generating anxiety and unease that it's nice when you can have a chuckle or two, something I think Craig captures perfectly without overdoing it. The tone is a triumph, really, because this is a serious film and has graphic imagery when it wants, but it is also extremely funny when it wants to be. He certainly saves the best for the end, but again, hold that thought, we'll get to that. I won't spend too much time going over each and every one of the characters that the film spends its time on. I did really enjoy Anton Ehrenreich in this one. I think I always see him as that awful portrayal of Han Solo and forget that he's actually a really good actor, because once again, he was ace in this one. Plays a police officer that gets involved in the case down to his interactions and exchanges with a drug addict, in which again, the film would switch between both of their perspectives on certain aspects of the narrative, and I thought that they worked really well together. Ehrenreich has his own personal demons that are explored, a recovering alcoholic that he and his wife are now trying for a baby, all of which is thrown into hell when he not only drinks with Garner's Justine, but sleeps with her too. It's that personal turmoil that can cause someone to make a rash decision, and in this guy's case, he knocks out this drug addict following being pricked by a needle in said addict's pocket. The effort he then goes to essentially make all of that go away, if that has to be the use of excessive force, then so be it. But Ehrenreich delivered in this part, and this plotline, of course, does bring us back round to the missing children. It's just another element of the plot that I really, really enjoyed. But when it comes to revealing just what is occurring and what has caused this, the film does it in a way that doesn't disrupt the flow. As I said earlier, it's a natural progression to that point. It's one of those where, upon rewatches, there may be more clues and hints already on top of the ones that are most notable prior to the reveal. The film pretty much states from the beginning, with Garner not only teaching the class about parasites, but also that she has the word witch graffitied on her car, and the film gets more sinister the closer we come to the reveal of why these children did in fact go missing. If any long distant relative ever pops up in my life out of the blue, I think I'll be very cautious before trying to arrange contact, because my god, this film likes to play with its food and has a good time doing so. We established that the only child in this class that wasn't part of the vanishing has had his aunt stay with the family, and my word, is she a sight. Not only generating one of the biggest jump scares of the year for me, which you'll know if you've seen it, this lady, Aunt Gladys, essentially is a form of witch that needs to put people under a spell in order to consume their energy and become healthier once again. Like I said at the start, I felt this was somewhat satisfying, if not leaving a little more to be desired, but take nothing away from the fear that this character generates, because she really is unnerving, and actress Amy Madigan was very impressive playing this part. With every reveal of her character as the film ticks along, it's just so creepy seeing her appear, you know, waving from afar, hiding in a dimly lit basement. She is the stuff of nightmares, and again, plays into that creepy old lady trope that has been done so many times before, but this time making it a little more grounded and campy. Your brain works in overdrive whenever the film is in darkness and a character, you know, is looking around their house or a room. You're expecting a jump scare or for something to appear, and more often than not, you'll get no payoff for this, so you're just sat sweating for the sake of it, which is where Craig excels as a storyteller. It worked with Barbarian, and it works even more so in Weapons. It all builds up to this huge crescendo at the end in which the spell is then used on these missing children to fight back against Aunt Gladys, and I shit you not, it's the funniest thing I've seen all year, and I watched Naked Gun a few weeks ago. I've heard mixed thoughts about this, but I really was all for it. Like, it felt so rewarding seeing Gladys being chased around the neighbourhood by these kids screaming and in fear of them after putting me through hell for 2 hours. Like, it was the best reward I could have asked for, and Craig caught it all in such a farcical and slapstick way that it worked so, so much and stands out as one of my favourite sequences sequences of the year. Hilarious, graphic, and rewarding, all rolled into one. As much as I enjoyed Barbarian, I think Weapons is a massive step up for Krieger, and take that as a huge compliment because Barbarian was fantastic, but this has so much more weight and emotion involved. The decision to split the story into chapters for each character could have been a risky move, but it works so well down to the overall script and story, as well as its performances from the film's cast. It's a ridiculously entertaining film that includes enough horror it'll make you wince at times, as well as a good sprinkle of humour to help ease off any anxiety that you might have been feeling whilst watching. And the reward at the end, as I say, is so grand that any dissatisfaction that I may have felt with its simple reveal is washed away in an instant, because damn was this fun. So for that, I'm going to give Weapons a 9 out of 10. Very, very impressed with this one from Krieger. I really can't wait to see what he does next, and I would love to know as well what you guys think of Weapons. I'm hoping you have caught it if you're listening to this, because as we do, we dive into spoilery areas, but still really, really impressive on this one. And horror this year has been really, really great. I think we've been eating good, haven't we? But as always, just a massive thank you for all your support. I really do appreciate you clicking and spinning this episode. I'll be back with more reviews, don't you worry. But until the next episode, take care.